Hey, this is David Kay, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
This is Megatron, leader of the Predacons, and you're listening to All Things Transformers. Predacons, terrorize!
All Things Transformers, hear the call. From Cybertron's heart, we'll never fall. We'll never raise a medal. The legends ignite. In this universe, we thrive and unite. Tonight!
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, joined by TFG1 Mike.
Hello, hello. We are here, and we are really waiting at this point.
Well, for 2025.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. This company.
It's like they ain't wanna actually make stuff.
No, I ain't.
Nothing for us fans. They're like, screw you guys, I'm going home.
But it's not even that. Like, I don't want us to repeat what we had in the last episode, but it's a thing of a repeating dead horse, because there's nothing. Like, I've found two cool things that I think are cool for news. Everything else, and I know it's the end of the year, it's almost December, it is this, it is that, it's Thanksgiving time. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, because most likely this episode will either be out before or on Thanksgiving this year. So eat your transforming turkeys wisely. Make sure you don't, you know, swallow any nuts or bolts or sparks or whatever.
That's what she said.
That's right.
Well, I was going to say there is one other cool thing that I noticed, okay, product wise, but it has to do with a removable helmet.
Oh yeah, I wasn't sure if you were gonna think that was cool or not, because half the time that they do the Transformers cosplay stuff, we look at it and we just scoff at it.
Well, it's G1. Like, I would love Beast Wars 2, but G1, like, the movieverse stuff, I don't care.
Yeah.
But the G1 stuff, in this one especially, this one is mighty cool.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about it, since I...
So, Killer Body, which is a Chinese company, has made several Transformers helmets in the past. This one is a G1 wearable, removable armor helmet of nice. Optimus Prime. And, yeah, he matches as close as they can to the 84 animated version, plus, you know, some aesthetics that kind of look like they hail from some IDW influences. But,
yeah,
this, it has 15 magnetic assembly plates to achieve a helmet in double armor. And it's an iron gray mechanical internal structure with detail. And he's got this pretty cool, like, it looks like Optimus Prime's helmet.
Yeah.
His eyes, and then he's got a nose and a face, you know, an actual mouth.
Yeah.
And it looks kind of cool. And it looks kind of barren and like very metallic and kind of reminiscent of like what a movie verse almost would look like if you didn't have a lot of paint decor.
Right.
And I took one look at this and I'm like, you know, that would make a perfect Optimus Prime face.
Yeah, it would.
Because his helmet is essentially that without all of the, I mean, it matches the colors and the design almost perfectly if I didn't put the armor on it. And then it's kind of cool because you can attach all the different armors and different pieces in the mouth plate. So technically I could even still do it without the blue part and have him still be, you know, Optimus Prime in a different way. But I don't know. I thought this was kind of neat, like how it's very modular and it kind of goes together.
Yeah.
And seems very like kitbashy.
Yeah.
And but in a good way. Plus, I like all the little gears and all the mechanisms that it looks like, and it lights up. So yeah, I think this is quite cool. I don't know how much it goes for, but it's pretty. Well,
that's the thing. According to this story that was released November 22nd, 2024 on TFW2005.com. So. Whatever. They do not have concrete information on price or release date as of this moment. Looking at this, I would assume with all of its mechanisms and the fact that all of these modular parts, like you're saying, they're all magnetic, I'm thinking somewhere between 80 and 150.
I'm thinking it's closer to like 2, but
okay.
Because the electronics and everything else.
Yeah, okay. Yep. I agree with that then. Yeah, it's probably going to be $200 most likely because of the electronics. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's super cool. And if this was like a budget thing, I would totally do this. Or if I get it sent for review, I would totally do this. This would be one of those things I purposely got like a head mount to put on my desk to have Prime's head sitting next to me. If I wasn't tempted to wear it while I was like streaming or something.
The only problem is you don't have a Peter Cullen in your repertoire.
Well, I kind of do.
Autobots, roll out.
Just not as well as like Frank Welker or David Kaye.
Yeah, exactly.
I would love nothing more than to have a Transmetal, the Transmetal Megatron helmet. Like I've got the files for a regular Beast Megatron helmet.
Yeah,
I don't. Unless I upgrade to a bigger printer, I don't ever see me getting it.
Yeah.
What
printer do you have now?
So I have an Ender V3.
Okay.
Or it's an Ender 3 V2, I mean. And the print bed isn't very big.
Okay.
And I should preface this with, it's not big enough to print a helmet. It is big enough to print, like, some other stuff. But, I mean, I could probably cut it and print it modular, but it would kind of look like crap.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I got to troubleshoot it again because I haven't turned it on in months. And I turned it on the other day so I could try and start troubleshooting it and re-level the bed.
Yeah.
So that I can start printing things again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I looked at the surface of this file to try and print it for my noggin. And, cause I don't know what size the file needs to be to fit, and it was all one piece. Like, I'm like, why would you design a helmet that's literally one piece? It's like, why can't you, you know, make it so that I can pop magnets in it, or I don't know, something. But yeah, anyways, this is super cool, and I would love to get my hands on that.
Yeah, that would be amazing. All right, so the only other thing before we get into the main topic of Hasbro. We got two more things there. I'm not a Godzilla fan. I don't dislike it, but it's not in my wheelhouse. Like, yes, he's a kaiju or dinosaur, whatever you want to call it. What I'm looking at is basically a Grimlock turned into, you know, looking like Godzilla, but the robot mode is Megatron. So it's Transformers Takara Tomy, Megatron type Godzilla. The Western orders are alive. Bring the ultimate Transformers experience to your collection with the Takara Tomy Synergenex series Megatron type Godzilla collectible figure. Convert from Megatron robot mode to Godzilla dinosaur mode. Highly articulated figure is perfect for display in action stances. I was trying to see which Grimlock this was made out of, because I know it's made out of one of
probably Studio Series.
Probably, most likely. Doesn't really say. But I just like the Megatron robot mode. I mean, it looks cool as hell.
So it's featuring the Leader Grimlock Generations mold.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. It still looks cool as hell, though.
I mean, it's neat, for sure.
Yeah absolutely.
I don't think I'd ever buy it.
No.
I'm not a huge Grimlock fan anyway, so, like, this doesn't resonate with me, and I don't really care about Godzilla. However, I mean, I think I would like it better if it was just straight Grimlock.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool, but I think the reason why I gravitated towards this is because, essentially, you have a black Megatron without his fusion cannon. It's basically, you know, a Megatron head on a Grimlock body, but I don't know, these colors just kind of popped for me because we're always used to seeing G1 Megatron in his silver/gray. And that's fine. I like that design, but I don't know, man. This just kind of popped for me. So we have that. And then coming in 2025. Now, this is under the rumors section, folks. So this is a huge rumor. Take with huge grain of salt here. We have the LEGO Soundwave. Via Reddit, we have a rumor about a possible LEGO Soundwave incoming in 2025. The information comes via Reddit user Clay Bricks, who has leaked several possible sets for 2025. We still have no additional details, but take this with a grain of salt until we get official confirmation. Interested in a new LEGO Soundwave set? Let us know, blah, blah, blah. So if this does happen, I think this would be really cool. Now, the image that they have here is that it's Brick Tap LEGO. Oh, no, that must be the name, but whatever. Just, I don't know, I think with LEGO Optimus Prime, how he still transformed, can you imagine a LEGO Soundwave in cassette mode? That would be amazing.
Oh, I totally could, and
yeah.
I saw the Prime in the store, couldn't afford him, but I definitely loved it and thought it was spectacular. I think they have a Bumblebee out.
I do not know off the top of my head.
I want to say they got him, like a Bumblebee LEGO. Mm-hmm.
Probably. They probably do. But
yep,
I like this. Okay, cool.
He's $89 and Prime was like $200.
I mean, it's Optimus Prime. Of course he's going to come.
And Bumblebee's smaller.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's like comparing Masterpiece MP04 or MP44 Optimus to any of the Bumblebee Masterpiece figures.
But it does transform, so I mean...
Yeah, and that's the other thing. Yeah, absolutely. All right, folks, that's it for the news that I have.
For the good news, you mean?
Yeah, for the good news. Everybody and their uncle is talking about the bad news, which is fine. We got to talk about the good and the bad.
Hey, didn't somebody on this podcast call this like a while ago? Somebody has been talking about this for quite some time, about product not moving. I wonder who it could be. Oh, wait, it was me. Not subtle at all.
No, hell no. Why would we want to move? Us? Subtle? Are you kidding me? Screw that shit.
But no, I mean...
The plan was, folks, so this is episode 439 of All Things Transformers. Having this little mini news episode here was not the plan. The plan was, and the plan still is, because we're going to do this for the next episode. The last episode of the year for All Things Transformers was going to be our commentary on Transformers 1, which will be the next episode in episode 440. However, as soon as I saw Rodimus Primal and Protoman doing videos about this subject on their YouTube channels, I was like, okay, let's look into this, and that's why I wanted to preface it with some of the cool stuff that we might be looking forward to or might be interested in, or at least stuff that we could talk about that was on the positive, because as of November 22nd, when this story was first published on TFW2005.com, Hasbro stops financing movie projects. Speaking to Bloomberg, Hasbro CEO Chris Cox, and I thought his name was spelled C-O-X. I didn't realize it was spelled all the way out C-O-C-K-S. Holy crap. States that the toy giant will stop co-financing movie projects. Mr. Cox is leading the company through a challenging transition, focusing on video games and digital entertainment to offset declining toy sales and underperforming movie ventures. A gamer at heart, Mr. Cox joined Hasbro in 2016, overseeing the rapid growth of the Wizards of the Coast division, which produces Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons. The company highlights that Transformers 1 underperformed financially. No shit!
They didn't put any marketing behind that movie, which is why it failed. Plus,
all the marketing for that movie, and I'm not saying this to be negative against what I'm going to say here. I'm just saying Hasbro themselves, and we can attest to this, all of that marketing was UK marketed between it and Rise of the Beasts. All of that marketing was sent to the UK. They did no marketing here in the US. We got contacted by the UK marketing team, and we told them we are based in the US. We would love to cover it.
So they gave us to Paramount here in the US, who promptly did not contact us. Well, they contacted us, and then they're like, "We'll reach out to you if we would like to continue." And
Apparently, they didn't like to continue. Look, folks. Yes, Steve and I can be negative. I'm more negative than he is most of the time because I'm just so enraged half the time with some of the stuff this company is doing. But we generally tend to put out a fairly good, fairly positive podcast for the most part. We try to find the news stories and the things that we want to talk about that we're excited about. And unfortunately, something like this has to come along where, unfortunately, it's negative.
And it does suck. I mean, I think I'm just as disappointed as most of us. I mean, I think Transformers 1 was definitely the direction we needed to be going, and less of the live action stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like because of past failures, and the fact that we're still sitting with Earthspark and Rise of the Beast crap on the shelves,
yep,
it's made it difficult for, I mean, and there's a lot of legacy stuff still. Legacy Evolution stuff still on the shelf that nobody wants. They kind of blew their load.
Yeah.
On all of it. And sadly, like, I feel like the well has dried up. And people don't really want what they're peddling anymore.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's sad. I mean, I genuinely enjoyed Transformers 1. And I feel like it had legs. I feel like they could have gone all kinds of directions with that. There was, for a dude who's diehard Beast Wars, and this was, you know, anything but.
Yeah.
I really did enjoy it. I liked the parallels in the various series that came across it. Yeah, did I care about the celebrity voicing? Not really, but that's neither here nor there. I genuinely enjoyed the film for what it was, and I wish it would have got the time to shine, but I feel like they purposely sabotaged their own endeavors to pivot away from film.
Yeah.
And I think, too, with, I mean, look, they bought Power Rangers in 2018, and they promptly have sold everything to do with it. Like, they've pawned off the toys to Playmates, they've sold all of the studio gear, like everything, like they've completely dumped it. And I feel like they're hemorrhaging and they're hurting to the point that, I mean, that's why they're doing layoffs. That's why they're moving to a different location. Although if you're moving from Rhode Island to Boston, it doesn't seem like it's going to save you that much money.
It's not. We talked about that last episode. It is not. I am from Massachusetts. I am from New England. It is all expense up there.
And so I think, too, with that, I feel like they also just didn't. I think between COVID and, you know, over ordering and then trying to pawn it off like they didn't. And then the fact that they're just peddling a bunch of stuff nobody wants.
Yeah.
Or mass producing a lot of the stuff nobody wants and then underproducing the stuff everybody does want.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go into anywhere and find a, you know, an Optimus Prime that's of G1 or Beast Origin, but you can find anything for the new series because, again, it's not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just nobody's really collecting it. And I'm saying that as vaguely as possible. I mean, to, you know, not to lump everybody together and say nobody is, but there's a lot of this product has been sitting on the shelf for 2 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's not moving once it hits the shelf and it's new.
Yeah.
Which tells me, and this is not just Transformers related, it's pretty much a Hasbro problem.
Oh, yeah.
And because, for instance, the Bandai Namco stuff, it's hit or miss if you're going to find it. I mean, and the other problem is like, when the stores sell out of it because they have such a low inventory, they don't really restock. And then the Hasbro stuff, they do restock, but it's, again, it's a lot of crap that's been there forever. And so, like, I've been to, like, multiple Walmarts and Targets, and either they're out of everything and just don't reorder, like Target, or they're like Walmart and are stacking it on the very tops of the shelves and have nowhere to put it. Or they and then they're lumping it into their clearance aisle because, again, there's nowhere else to put it. So I think we're in this weird situation where we're going to end up with, I think we're going to see Hasbro go through some really serious hurt over the next year, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, this guy came from Microsoft. This guy came from video games, and that's fine. I mean, not everyone's going to be a Brian Goldner. May Brian rest in peace. And that's all well and good. The thing is, unfortunately, I don't think Chris Cox is wrong when he says that they are pivoting towards video game and online entertainment, because other than us, and we said this last episode when I asked you, are your kids, are your two, how old are your two boys?
9 and 12.
Okay, they're perfect age. Like, I remember 1989 was the first time I was able to get Rodimus Prime. I remember being in Key Biscayne, Florida in 1989 when I was 9 years old playing with Rodimus Prime out by the pool. In 2024, a 9-year-old does not care about... We are in this electronic age now. We are so deep in the electronic age that it's games this, games that, it's iDevice that, or Android, or whatever. And as an overall, even though I'm not a parent, I can see the writing on the wall. They're going to go towards virtual entertainment more than physical plastic, because they need to make money somehow. And what's a better way to make money than to have a free game with a bunch of microtransactions that your parents have to approve?
So this is the other issue I see. Why would, like, me as a parent buy a digital item that they're just going to take away from me?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my issue with games now, is, or just digital entertainment. A lot of these platforms have already shown that they're going to yank it from us the minute they change platforms, they get bought out, they deem it not viable to keep active anymore. They will take away whatever digital purchase you have. Not to mention, when you buy a game and then you play it online or you stream it or whatever, when you hit a certain point, they eventually shut the server down and your game goes with it. Or they yank access to the game and then your game goes with it. Even though you paid real money for it, you don't have a physical product and you're technically leasing it from them, which is how they want it. They don't want you to own it. They want you to lease it, even though you've paid your hard-earned money for it and supported them through it. And I see it being a double-edged sword for sure. Like, I see it backfiring in a lot of ways, because I don't feel like their gaming stuff is all that solid. I mean, they had War for Cybertron years ago, and then they screwed the pooch and didn't do any more of it.
Yeah, they had War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron. I think there was supposed to be a third one, but I don't remember off the top of my head.
There was, and then Hasbro decided not to do it. But a lot of the issues with Hasbro is Hasbro itself.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's studio intervention, just like Warner Brothers. And when they gave James Gunn Warner Brothers to run their studio, they're actually coming up with a solid idea. Imagine that. You have a guy that's in charge of storytelling? It's mind-boggling. Maybe they should do that with Transformers instead of hiring weird panels of groups to run it. And, you know, all of these different franchises. Like, they haven't had direction in years, and they're only making it worse. And they're making it easier for the third party to really shine.
Yeah, so just, and again, folks, we're not going to go through this next episode because we're going to do the commentary on Transformers 1. But speaking of writing and storytelling and everything else, the guy that did the screenplay for Transformers 1, Eric Pearson, worked on Ragnarok, he worked on Black Widow, he worked on Thunderbolts coming up in 2025. He's working on the Fantastic Four movie in 2025 and the to-be-announced Blade film with Wesley Snipes, most likely. But the writer, the story that's done by, like, Andrew Barrer and Gabriel Ferrari, I've never heard of them whatsoever. Like, their names aren't even clickable on Wikipedia. And, you know, I don't know. It's just crazy to me that this company just seems to, I don't know. I'm all for them potentially doing the digital stuff for kids, as long as, you know, as long as the parents and whatever else and all this and all everything else. Because I think today's kid doesn't... Today's kid is not who we were. Today's kid is different. Today's kid wants the online thing, whether it stays or not. Like, you want that hit of dopamine immediately, or hit whatever kind of thing. So, I don't know. Because every time I've seen a Hasbro live stream in the last, I'll say it, the last 2 years, every time Evan and Mark and Ben from marketing, every time the Hasbro team has been on their live streams, most of the products I see them giving high value time to on these live streams is stuff like a new version of Soundwave or Tarn. If I had children, Tarn would not be a character that I would buy for my kids. And it's not because I don't want to buy the character for, like, but it would not be something I would market towards kids. And I'm not saying they marketed it towards kids. They marketed it towards us, who, those of us who read the comics and know who the characters are, whatever, whatever, whatever. My point is that it seems like every live stream I've seen them do, I'll say specifically this year, it's all been legacy characters for the adult collectors, because they think their kid audience is all of us adults, and they are not marketing towards kids anymore.
No, they're not.
I don't know, folks. So, you want to say anything else?
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately we're at this pinnacle of watching what's going to happen with these industries now, between the movie and television industry, the gaming industry, the toy industry. They're all coalescing into this point where some of them are going to go bye-bye. They're going to all... there's going to be some kind of a massive collapse between all of these different platforms. And sadly, Hasbro... I feel like they need to get rid of Chris Cox. And I felt like that since he got hired. But because all he's done is butcher this thing.
Yeah.
But... I mean, yeah, he's not a Brian Goldner, but and nobody ever really will be.
Right.
But I don't see him being very good long term. I'm fearful for what happens to the franchise going forward.
Yeah, I guess only time will tell, right? Unfortunately.
Yep.
So like I said, folks, coming up next for the last episode of the year, we are going to do a commentary on Transformers 1. So we will be watching the film and commenting as we go kind of thing. That's going to be fun as always. That will be the final episode of 2024. We will be brainstorming ideas during the holiday season for new episodes in 2025, other than just news episodes. I do want to bring back the All Things Transformers, Transformers Origins episodes. It's 30 questions about your Transformers fandom. If anyone wants to be on the show, send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. But there's going to be a part of 2025 where Steve and I might be a little bit more lax in posting episodes for this show, because we've got Star Trek stuff to do.
Yup.
And that's going to be taking up our time, because Altered Trek is the new Star Trek. Well, technically it's the old Star Trek, but the new Star Trek podcast, the return, the reimagining, the reformatting of Future Imperfect into Altered Trek. And we're going to be going through all of the TNG seasons and the TNG movies and the Kelvin universe and other things for that. So that's going to be taking up our time in the future, but please come back next time when we do the Transformers 1 commentary, and I'm sure we will most likely have a news episode once a month, if that, because, like, some of this news, even the news, like, when San Diego Comic-Con was happening, when we were doing those news episodes, I'm like... I don't care. It's like, throw that out, get rid of that. Yoink, yoink, yoink. Nope. Oh, and the other thing I'll mention, because this is our last news episode of the year. Hey, Hasbro. Hey, Funko. Hey, Drop.io. Okay, so Funko and Drop.io. Drop.io is are the people that do the NFTs for Funko. And they do NFTs, I assume, for other companies too, but I know they do it for Funko. They've released many other NFT sets so far this year, but yet the Transformers set has been indefinitely delayed. There's been no news. There's been no nothing. So between Hasbro, Drop.io, and Funko, what the Funko is going on with this NFT Wave 2 for Transformers Funko Pops? You know, folks, if you just did this as regular Funko Pop releases in actual stores that we could actually buy, luckily I've got a guy who I'm paying to eventually have the set because he did all the card stuff already. But the point is that there's been no news on this whatsoever. There's been no news on it, but yet we had the Optimus and Megatron, the Astro Train, the Blaster. We had that wave come out for Funko Pops. But these NFTs, I believe the NFT wave is Blitzwing, Beast Wars, Cheetor, Generation 1 RC, Ultra Magnus, Freddy Funko is Grimlock, which is fucking stupid. Because Freddy Funko dressed up, it's stupid. And then the big royalties thing, which I did not get yet, but it's King Starscream, so it's Starscream with his crown. But yeah, though every other NFT release has either sold out or not sold out, but they've had so many other NFT releases this year, and they delayed the Transformers ones indefinitely for some stupid freaking reason. Oh, God. Take us out, Megatron.
So, thank you, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, with TFG1 Mike. You can find our contact information on the website on geekcastradio.com in this episode post with our Linktree locations. So, until next time, transform and transcend, and we'll see you here on All Things Transformers to discuss Transformers 1.
They're just a bunch of fucking repaints.
Your podcast, good!
An evil new menace from the world of the Transformers.
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.